Hello, hello, everyone. What is up? My name is Carolyn Vig, and welcome to my podcast. So it's been a little bit since I've recorded. I found that it's just a lot harder than I thought it would be to fit recording these podcasts and my YouTube videos into my regular schedule. But as always, I have the intention to do this more often. So let's hope that that works out moving forward. Today's podcast, like always, is brought to you by my Patreon. If you enjoy the free content that I put out, if you get value from my podcast, my YouTube channel, my Instagram posts, or now my Twitter, you can follow me on there. If you feel like I'm educating you, I'm inspiring you, and you want to give a little love back, you can become one of my Patreons, or you can become one of my patrons by signing up for one of my Patreon tiers. So today we are going to be talking about nutrition, because even though I'm a personal trainer, and I'm sure anyone who works in the fitness industry can relate to this, even though I'm a personal trainer, a fitness professional, and not a nutrition professional, I still get a lot of questions about nutrition. One, because fitness and nutrition are very much related and linked, and two, just because, you know, there is a lot of confusion about what healthy eating is, what it looks like, and how to do it. And, you know, people are going to go to whatever resources they think they can trust in order to find answers to their questions. So today I am going to talk about the 8 pieces of nutrition advice that I give to my personal training clients the most often. Now, before I jump into the first piece of advice, I just want to make it clear that I am not a doctor and I am not a dietitian. So none of these pieces of advice are meant to treat or diagnose any kind of medical condition. And I strongly advise that you talk to your doctor or a registered dietitian, a certified nutrition professional, before making any changes to the way you eat. So the first piece of advice is make sure you are eating enough. Now, this is honestly a universal piece of advice. I think this applies to everyone, and it's especially important to keep in mind for anyone who has a history of dieting or who finds that they have kind of been influenced by diet culture to think that, you know, eating less than enough is healthy for some reason, or that they must restrict their food in order to reach their health or their fitness related goals. That is absolutely not true. No one needs to restrict. No one needs to undereat. Undereating is, you know, universally unhealthy. And one of the best things that you can do, just baseline, the first thing that needs to happen for you to eat a healthy diet, is to make sure that that diet consists of enough food, enough energy to sustain you in your wonderful, amazing, beautiful life. My next piece of advice that I often give to people that I work with is eat breakfast if you want. And so then the flip side of that is don't feel like you must eat breakfast if you don't want to. So for whatever reason, breakfast is a very hot topic in the world of nutrition, healthy eating, wellness, all of that. There seems to be 2 completely different schools of thought about breakfast. But what they have in common is that they consider their point of view on breakfast to be of the utmost importance when it comes to healthy eating. So on the one hand, you've got the breakfast is the most important part of the day crowd. And if you have ever heard that piece of advice, you may have felt pressured to, you know, eat breakfast no matter how early you wake up, no matter what you're feeling like when you wake up, whether you're hungry or not. And then on the other side of things is the time-restricted eating, intermittent fasting crowd, that they are adamant about only eating for a few hours out of the day, that skipping breakfast and waiting a few hours until you eat your first meal is very important for health and has all these benefits, and that's what should be done. Or at least if you are often hearing that advice, you may feel pressured to believe that's what you should do. No matter how hungry you are when you wake up, no matter what kind of cravings you are having or what your energy needs are like first thing in the morning. Now, of course, I believe the reality about breakfast falls somewhere in the middle, and I think it's going to be different for everyone. So my advice about breakfast is to eat it if you want to. And if you don't want to, don't feel the pressure to eat when you're not hungry. Now, if you don't eat breakfast, keep in mind that means you're probably going to have to eat more snacks later on in the day, or your other meals are going to have to be larger in order to get enough energy. Refer back to piece of advice number one. But if you're not hungry in the morning, don't feel like you must force yourself to eat. However, if you are hungry in the morning, don't feel like you must force yourself to stay hungry until a specific time just to keep yourself within the guidelines of intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating. That's ridiculous. If you are hungry in the morning when you wake up, eat breakfast and eat what sounds good for breakfast. And if you're not hungry in the morning, well, don't worry about it. Wait until you are hungry, and then when that time comes, eat what feels good, what sounds good, what you want. Which brings me right to piece of advice number three, which is eat foods you like. One of the awful things that diet culture has done to our collective relationship with food is that it has made us believe that there is some sort of inverse relationship between the health of a food and how enjoyable it is to eat. So what I mean by that is that we tend to believe that if we really like a food, if we really enjoy eating it, that that's somehow a bad thing, that that's somehow unhealthy, and that we should be avoiding the foods we like because that's for some reason better for us. But that is really just not true. Sure, there is such thing as hyperpalatable foods, or it's definitely the case that you can eat foods in excess to the point where you feel sick, or if you are trying to manage a certain health condition, it could be detrimental to you in that way. But eating foods you like is not just inherently unhealthy or bad. In fact, it's actually good for you to eat foods that you like. Enjoying your food and enjoying the process of eating is a really important part of eating in a healthy way. Also, remember that even if when you think about foods you like, you tend to only think about the foods that are labeled as quote unquote junk foods, those probably aren't the only foods that you get pleasure from eating. Remember that there is a whole range of foods that exist, and most likely you enjoy eating a bunch of them. So when you are eating, instead of just focusing on the shoulds and the fear of what might go wrong if you eat something that is quote unquote bad for you, focus on the enjoyment factor of eating the foods that are in front of you. Because no matter what, your body is going to do the best that it can with those foods. It's going to use the energy and the nutrients in those foods to do amazing things in your body, and it's all going to be okay. So choose foods you like, eat foods you like, and let yourself enjoy eating the foods you like. Okay, next is number five. Next is number four, which is that you probably don't need supplements. Now, this piece of advice I give to most of my clients, mostly because I used to work in an environment where a key part of my job as a personal trainer was to sell as many supplements as possible to as many of my clients as possible. And that was one of the things that I really hated most about that job. It felt very unethical, very like slimy and sleazy, and I just did not like it. The supplement industry is problematic in a lot of ways, and I could make a whole other podcast episode about this, and maybe I should. There's not a lot of regulation. There's a lot of wiggle room for companies to lie and exaggerate about claims. And in the end, I've found that most of the people who are trying to sell supplements care a lot more about making a buck than they do about the efficacy and the safety of the supplements that they're selling. Now, of course, this isn't true across the board. And this isn't true for necessarily every single person who has invested themselves in maybe an MLM around supplement sales or does any kind of affiliate marketing. I think a lot of individual, you know, influencers and trainers who are working independently with companies have the best intentions, but the companies themselves might not. While supplements definitely can be helpful in certain circumstances, for the most part, I think they can tend to be a waste of money for most people. If you have a ton of money to blow and you don't really care about the cost and you like supplements and you're using ones that, you know, you like how they make you feel and you seem to get value from them, cool. I'm not going to tell you to stop taking them. But if money is tight and you're feeling the pressure to buy into taking supplements or purchase supplements from someone who has been messaging you on social media, just know that you do not have to, and those supplements probably will not do anything positive for your health, even if you were to take them, you know, as directed. The one exception I will say here is supplements that have been prescribed by a doctor or a dietitian. So if you have gone to the doctors and gotten blood work done and it's shown that you are low or deficient in a vitamin, or if you suffer from a condition or a disease that increases your requirement of a certain nutrient and you're having trouble getting it through your diet, you know, if you've been prescribed a supplement, whether that's a vitamin or a protein or something like that by a medical professional, then absolutely take that supplement. I'm just saying, like, the performance enhancing, the borderline woo-woo supplements with these like incredible claims, probably not worth your money. Piece of advice number 5 is to make sure that you are eating before and after your workouts. So this is the intention that you'll have to put behind this is going to be a little bit dependent on when, what time of day you tend to work out. And, you know, your personal body and how you feel when you work out. So I'm not going to ignore the fact that some people really enjoy doing fasted exercise. And for some people, it's not harmful. It doesn't seem to have a negative impact on them. And that is totally cool. If that is you, if you work out in the morning and you don't eat before you work out and you feel fine doing that, keep doing what you're doing. But fasted exercise is not necessarily safe or good for everyone. And especially if you are new to exercise, and especially if you are working on healing your relationship with food or recovering from any disordered eating, I recommend eating before your workouts, even if it's just a little bit, a few crackers, a half a banana. Just getting something in your stomach can really help to make sure that you feel good and not, you know, faint or sick or anything while you're trying to exercise in the morning. When it comes to meal skipping around workouts, if you work out at night, you might find that there is a tendency to be tired after your workouts and maybe sometimes skip out on dinner or not really eat enough for dinner. And I want to encourage you to do everything you can to not let yourself get in that situation. Eating after your workouts is super important, especially for not to be super gender binary here, but for women or, you know, people assigned female at birth who are not currently doing any kind of hormone replacement. If you are working out and you've got a, you know, quote unquote female hormonal profile, you can have some negative impacts to your hormonal systems if you work out and then fast or don't eat for a really long time after your workout. So just within a couple hours of after you finish your exercise, eat something. Eat a snack, eat, you know, a hearty meal if you can. Your body will thank you. It will help calm down your nervous system and, you know, reset your stress hormones back to baseline and prevent testosterone from being chronically elevated and causing any sort of problems that could occur downstream from there. So, yeah, eat before and after your workouts. Basically, eat. Eat, eat, eat. Eat enough. Eat regularly. Eat. That's my advice. But it's not just about what you eat or how often you eat or how much you eat. It's also about the state in which you are in when you're eating. How are you eating? How are you when you are eating? So piece of advice number 6 is to eat in a relaxed state. Now, this one especially goes out to all of my listeners who deal with any kind of digestive problems, IBS, anything like that. My heart goes out to you. I am one of y'all, and it is not fun to deal with digestive distress, you know, on a daily basis or after eating. And one of the best things that you can do to maximize the effectiveness of your digestive system and hopefully minimize any symptoms of whatever it is that you're dealing with digestively is to make sure that your body is calm while you are eating and before you start eating. So what I mean by this is to, if you remember back to high school biology, your nervous system has your central nervous system has two states that it can be in. It can be in rest and digest, which is relaxed and calm, and there's blood flow available to go to your digestive system to make sure that all of those organs and are working the way they're supposed to, and the juices are flowing and the muscles are digesting. And then there is fight or flight, which we have probably all heard of before as the stress response. So when your nervous system is in fight or flight, which unfortunately a lot of us spend a lot of time in this state in our current ecosystem. When our body is in this state, it's not really prepared to digest food because all of the blood in our body and all of the resources are being shunted to our muscles so that we can run away or we can fight the danger that is at hand. So in order to eat in the most comfortable way that you possibly can for you, getting yourself into that rest and digest mode is going to be really important. So what this means is for most people, just taking a few deep breaths before you take that first bite of food. Using whatever, you know, stress coping mechanisms work well for you to get you into a really relaxed state. And this doesn't have to be a full-on, you know, 20-minute meditation. This can literally just be like 5 to 10 deep breaths, just taking a few seconds to center yourself, to find a calm, relaxed state before you start eating. It's also important to remember that working out puts us in that fight or flight. It activates our stress hormones and our stress system. So making sure that you wait enough time after you work out in order for your body to calm down, for your breathing rate and your heart rate to return back to baseline, for that adrenaline to kind of work its way out of your bloodstream before you dive into your meal. Now, of course, this won't always be able to be perfect. There's probably still going to be times where you have to eat while you're stressed, but just doing what you can to try to make yourself as calm as possible whenever you can when you're about to eat will definitely save you some discomfort and also just make eating your meal a lot more enjoyable. Okay, we've got 2 more here. Number 7 is eat some veggies. So when it comes to giving my clients nutrition advice, I tend to stay away from specifics of telling them what to eat, because honestly, that is not my place. That's not up to me. A person's decision on what they want to eat, what they should eat, what will feel good to eat, that's not something that anyone else but them can know. So I don't tell my clients what to eat on a day-to-day basis, but I do encourage my clients to eat some vegetables when they can. Now, some people love eating vegetables. Maybe you're one of those people, and maybe you incorporate vegetables into a lot of your meals just because you like it, and that's, you know, how you interact with food, and it's how you like to eat. But I also know that some people don't love to eat vegetables. And a lot of that has to do with kind of the food environment that they were exposed to when they were young and that they grew up in. if you didn't grow up eating a lot of vegetables, or maybe if you grew up having kind of a contentious dinner table relationship with your parents telling you to eat vegetables when you didn't want to, you may find that vegetables aren't like your number one go-to food that you just want to eat on a regular basis. And that's okay. I don't think you should have to force yourself to eat foods you hate. But if there's some vegetables out there that are okay, you don't mind eating them, it would really be in the interest of your health to try to incorporate some of those veggies where you can into meals that you already like or on the side of snacks that you already like. Not replacing your favorite foods, but just eating vegetables as well. Vegetables, as much hype as they get in diet culture, and I don't like to, you know, play into any of the kind of misinformation about, you know, maybe beliefs that vegetables are the only healthy food or anything besides vegetables is like bad and empty calories. No. None of that is the case. But vegetables are healthy. They've got fiber, which is super important for gut health and for cholesterol. If you deal with high cholesterol or if you have a family history of high cholesterol, eating enough fiber is super important for managing that. Veggies also have a wide variety of vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that are all important in your body for a bunch of reasons that, honestly, I'm not going to go into them now, but you can pick up a nutrition book and read about vitamins if you want to. But yeah, vegetables are good for us. They've got a lot of really good nutrients in there, a lot of good stuff that our bodies need and want. So when you can incorporate vegetables into a meal that you like or eating them in a way that you can enjoy, that's just going to be good for your health in general and in terms of adding variety to your diet and getting a variety of nutrients so that your body can do all of the amazing things that it wants to do. And finally, and you've probably been able to gather this one from all of the other pieces of advice, my last piece of advice, number 8, is don't get hung up on rules and perfection. Here's the thing about food rules. They are invented by people who are trying to sell you diets. There's no such thing as food rules that are necessary to follow, unless you have some sort of, you know, food allergy, or maybe you have celiac disease and there's foods that you must stay away from for your safety. But any other food rule out there that is based on, you know, shoddy nutrition science or complete pseudoscience, you do not need to follow them. You do not need to be low carb. You do not need to be low fat. You do not need to be gluten free unless you have celiac disease. You do not need to stop eating before 7 p.m. All of these things are misconceptions to flat out lies, and you do not need to follow them. And here's the thing about perfection. There's no such thing as perfection, and that also applies to the way that you eat. There's a misconception that's spread by diet culture that there, for any given individual, there is one optimal way to eat. One way of eating that is going to make all of your physical and mental and emotional and job-related and relationship problems go away. And if you can find that way of eating and you can stick to it, then all of the things that you struggle with in your life will just magically get better. That's honestly the belief that we are fed. Maybe not in so many words, maybe not so explicitly, but implicitly. Yeah, it is implied that there is a perfect way of eating, and if you follow it, everything will be great. But that's not how our bodies work. Our bodies are amazing and adaptable. They can handle a wide variety of, you know, food situations that you throw at it. So there's no perfect way of eating. There's lots of really good ways of eating, and your body will thrive with all of them. So listen to your body, listen to your cravings, listen to what you want and how you feel, and just make the best decisions that you can from moment to moment to honor those feelings. Your body will take what you give it and turn it into something amazing, into movement, into cell regeneration, into creating all of the tissues and the hormones and the chemicals that all of your body's systems need in order to function and thrive. And as long as you are eating enough and you are eating a variety of foods, you're good. There's no such thing as perfect, and you don't have to strive for it. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. That was the 8 most common pieces of advice that I give to my personal training clients. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned something. Remember, if you did like this, to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you would like to become one of my patrons on my Patreon page, you can do so by going to patreon.com/CarolynVig. And yeah, hopefully I'll be recording another episode soon. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. That's where I post the most often. And also, if you haven't checked out my YouTube channel, I've got a few awesome videos on there that you can fill the time with as well. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. And I'll talk to you in the next episode.